Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
I was sitting at home. I wanted to take a year off, and phone was ringing, and along came one of my good friends, Father Joe Campolone. Asked if I want to apply for the job, and I considered it, and it was an unbelievable decision to merge my family with Father Judge.
And our guest this week, John Dunlop, who has spent more than two decades as the boys soccer coach at Father Judge High School. He has enjoyed enormous success. John, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
So let's start this past season. I think your squad went 15-3, made it to the semis of the Catholic League. How do you look at the season, and how long does it take you to kind of fully digest and process the season and kind of put it to bed before you start looking ahead?
It's a good evaluation process, you know, trying to figure out the good things, the bad things, but also looking at the younger guys coming up, where they fit, how they'll fit, and how we could execute that on the pitch.
So talk to me a little bit, give people an idea about how many kids do you have in the program, and you have varsity and JV, and kind of how it works through the season.
Actually, we have three teams. We have a freshman team, JV team, and a varsity team. My job is to oversee the soccer program itself. Fortunate to have good assistants that operate the freshman and JV team. So it's a process at the freshman level, basic skills, drills, get their feet wet, what the Catholic League's all about, what Judge Soccer's all about. And we try to promote them up to the levels of JV and then the varsity sevens.
Now, this past season, you won your 300th game at Judge. What does a milestone like that mean to you?
It means I'm here a long time so far. But it reminds me of the former players here, the coaches that were here. Credit to them. And I appreciate what they've done for Father Judge Soccer.
Let's now talk a little bit about your overall career. Has soccer always been your sport growing up and through school?
It has. I was very fortunate. My father, Gordon Dunlop Sr., came over from Scotland, and he was my first coach at five. And I played in the far northeast called Parkwood Youth Organization. And I was very fortunate to have quality coaches that were instrumental in my soccer play first. And I went on to George Washington High School, where we had a great career there. Moved on to Temple University on a full soccer scholarship. And unfortunately, I got injured there. Not once, but twice, ripped up my ACL in my knee. And then I had a conversation with my father, and he said, "You're done." And that's what got me motivated to coach soccer, because of the love of the game.
I want to put a pin in that. Growing up with soccer like that, when did you start to think you were pretty good at it?
When it's over four decades, so the game has changed. But at that time, I did play basketball growing up. I did play baseball growing up. Probably right before high school, where my dad thought it'd be nice to make a decision and focus on one sport, because I was missing the practices and games of the other sports, and he didn't think it was fair. And looking back, it was the right thing to do, and I made a nice career out of it.
Why'd you choose Temple when you were looking at colleges? Were they the one the most interested in you?
Yeah, I mean, Temple's a great school, academically and athletically. It was close. My parents could get to see me play every week, and I had some friends that were there already, so they were happy with the program, and I thought it'd be a nice fit becoming a teacher, soccer coach.
What kind of player were you? Kind of scout yourself.
Early on in my career, I was a goal scorer. The game changed, kind of set back a little bit into the midfield, and then the systems changed. And when I was at high school, I was still a goal scorer. I was in the middle of the park. I hold the single season scoring record there. When I came out of George Washington, Temple made me into a right back. We attacked from the outsides. And then when you get injured, you get a little smarter, and they slid me into the middle portion of the field. And so I basically played everything except for keeper.
What was it about soccer that you loved? Like, about the game itself? Like, the love of the game itself when you were playing, what was it that made you come to it, stay with it, and thrive in it?
And it's the relationships. You don't realize that until you get a little older. But growing up in the far Northeast, you could have 6-7 clubs in that area, and we're all battling for that one championship trophy. And you're either going to school with these kids, or you're hanging out with these kids. And later down the line, you reminisce. It's a big part of your life. And it's like a tree with a bunch of branches. And you're fortunate enough to have played, coached, or been involved with the game of soccer with some of the people you've grown up with. It's important to us.
So you're at Temple, and you said you got hurt twice. Was it the same injury basically both times?
I had a great freshman year. I started. After we went 19-0-1, lost in the regional championship to Penn State, came home, I ripped up my knee. Back then, an ACL tear takes over a year. I recovered from it. I played two more seasons. And then the first game of my senior year, I ripped up the other knee for the ACL tear. And sitting out a whole nother year, the rehab and to get back on the pitch, it was difficult. I was very fortunate with the Temple trainers. They were brilliant. And I kind of looked, hey, how can I still be involved with this game? And I was very fortunate of a longtime friend and coach, Fran Nick, who was at Holy Ghost Prep. He reached out to me, said, you need to stay involved with the game. And this was at the age of 19, and he brought me onto his staff. And 5 years later, I'm assistant coach at Philadelphia Textile University. And I met a great gentleman named Mike Orney, who was involved with the game, and I tried to be a sponge. The likes of a Larry Sullivan Sr. and these guys, just listening and being around them and growing with the game, I was very fortunate at my age.
With the two injuries, did they feel the same? Like when the first one happens, and then when you had the second one happens, did you feel like the same thing had happened, or was it a different experience?
They were different experience. One was I was involved. They were both involved in the game, but I got clipped from behind and I went over. My knee was playing. I was playing indoor at Woodhaven Sports Center, and I got clipped from behind. I thought it was just a regular injury and got some x-rays and found out it was worse than I thought. I was very fortunate with the trainers. I had that motivation to get back on the pitch and become a soccer player again. The second one, it was bad. We went up for a head ball. I came down first, and the player came down on top of my left leg, and the leg didn't bend that way. And so my motivation was to walk again and have a normal leg and see where the game of soccer would take me.
How difficult was it mentally, specifically the second one? Because I would imagine, on one hand, you know what the rehab and the mountain you have to climb is like, but from a negative standpoint, you know what the rehab and the mountain you have to climb is like. Like, you understand it, but it can be more foreboding, I would imagine, because you know how much goes into it. Like, how was that mentally to deal with a second time?
Yeah, I mean, it took a toll on me, but like, I was fortunate. You know, my dad was involved with the game. My brother Gordon was involved in the game. And I mean, Fran Nick turned my life around of keeping me involved with the game of soccer. I still was a student at Temple. I lived at 7th and Washington with nine of the great roommates I had and best friends today. And I would travel up to the Northeast and help the Holy Ghost win the bicentennial and win the state championship, which we did.
When you were coaching those first years, were you absolutely sold right away that this was what you wanted to do? Like, did it take immediately and you were like, yes, this is my future?
You know, I didn't know it would turn into the career I have today. I went back to my neighborhood where I grew up, Parkwood. I started coaching there. I was at Holy Ghost Prep. The juice was flowing. I was learning a lot, and doors were open for me. And I was young. I was intrigued, and I was around good people that wanted to take care of me. And I became a sponge, and I just took ideas from all these coaches I had, whether even if it was basketball or baseball. And I just started plugging them into my own coaching philosophy. And each year I was gaining more experience, confident, and doors were opening up. And I was very thankful that Philadelphia Textile came by and asked me to be part of the program. And I was there 1 year. Next thing you know, I'm the head coach of the program. So when I go places, I try to stay, and they become my family. So Philadelphia Textile was an incredible experience for me, learning at such a young age of 25. And you learn a lot. And then Father Judge stepped by, and it's been another marriage for me. It's they've allowed me to be myself and to run this program and be part of a great institution.
When you first start coaching, do you remember the first time that something you worked on with a kid where the light bulb went off, or the first time you suggested or did something like tactically and it paid off? Do you remember like the first moment you had of that, of like that true coaching success and what it felt like?
I mean, like I said, I've been very fortunate. Probably one of my favorites was recruiting Pat Morris at North Catholic High School. And being in a large family, his dad was a police officer, walking into their living room and offering their son a scholarship to Philadelphia Textile, and seeing a kid from Philadelphia take advantage of what we had to offer there academically and athletically, and where he turned into a pro for the Philadelphia Kicks and played on the national team for the futsal program, and watching him blossom into the young man and what he did for the game and Philadelphia soccer.
Now, you came your first year at what is now Thomas Jefferson University, obviously then Philadelphia Textile, was 94 you came on as an assistant. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yep.
So those early years, you are so, you know, you're, like you said, 24, 25. You're probably coaching some kids that are 21, 22, if not 23. Did that, being that close in age, present any challenges where I'm sure in some situations you might have a hard time being an authority figure, or kids might have a hard time taking you seriously as an authority figure, just because it can be like a hard mental thing to cross, because, well, this guy could be my roommate and why is he the coach? Did you have anything like that, or was it a pretty good, once you stepped in, you know, you were coach and they were the players and it was okay?
You know, that's a great question. I did have some bumps in the road, and other times I didn't think about it. I had some good assistants there, Tom Siakko, another great coach coming out of the Philadelphia area, and John Short out of Corning, New Jersey. And I had a great AD there, and Tom Shirley, that kept me grounded. He knew I was young. And I groaned with the school. It was a brilliant school there, and the soccer history there. And just chugged away. I knew I was going to make mistakes, but you kind of learn from them and become a better player, better coach, better person.
When you first start coaching at the collegiate level, did you know what you didn't know as far as everything that goes into, specifically when you became the head coach, like everything that goes into running a program that goes beyond just what happens on the pitch?
I was a part-time coach, and I was taken off of school to go travel to South Carolina or Connecticut or Hartwick, where these coaches were full-time, legendary coaches, full-time assistants. No, the door was closed on me, and I kind of had to learn as I went. And with the guidance at Philadelphia University and Philadelphia Textile, there was a lot of bumps in the road, but you try your best. But it was a great learning experience for me. And as for ground level, I was very fortunate to have that job to see the mistakes I've made and see my former players afterwards. And we could talk about things. And so, it was interesting. It was definitely a struggle.
What was the biggest lesson you had to learn?
Time management. I was a full-time teacher at the time. And the second part of the day, I was a college coach. So preparation for practices, preparation getting your players ready for the season, preparation for scouting and preparing your team for that one particular game. There was a lot going on, and I was still young. So maturity, I would probably say, if I had to put a finger on it, of trying to deal with all these things and responsibility, taking care of 24 young men, you know, that was only a couple of years old, younger than me.
What's the biggest difference coaching high school and coaching college, in your opinion?
They're kids, you know, and trying to figure out them, the personalities, managing a variety of different responsibilities. I'm going to say being at Father Judge, it's a special school. You got to love it. That's half the battle. I get to have my players in my classroom. I see them in the hallway. I'm with them more than I was at the university level. So I get to see them in different aspects as a human being. And I think the relationships that we build off the field definitely helps me when I only have them for 2.5 months, because there's a lot going on there. And Father Judge has been great to me and my family, and I can't thank them enough. But it's the families and the players that come here to play for this program. It's been a treat.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Father Judge boys soccer coach John Dunlop in just a moment. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda. KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with John Dunlop. He is the boys soccer coach at Father Judge High School. So you spent, what was it, 7 seasons at Jefferson?
Yes.
Were you looking to go in a different direction? Because you didn't leave Jefferson specifically to go to Father Judge, am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, my wife, a little bit younger than me, I was pounding the street, just coaching everything. I was a little spread out, and we got married, wanted to have a family, and I basically became Mr. Mom. She worked in the field of open-heart surgery, and like I said, I was only part-time at the university. I loved it there, but I'm running two full-time jobs, and the third becoming a father. So something had to budge. I just didn't feel that I was given everything I wanted at the university. And because I loved it there, they were great to me. And I was sitting at home. I wanted to take a year off, and the phone was ringing. And along came one of my good friends, Father Joe Campolone, asked if I wanted to apply for the job. And I considered it. And it was an unbelievable decision to merge my family with Father Judge.
Immediately, you felt like this is home and this is where I'm going to plant the flag?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up in the neighborhood, so I kind of knew what Father Judge was about. And all my assistants, when I first started, were all Judge guys. And I felt that I could take this community, this building, and the support of 27,000 Judge guys. If I learn what this is all about, I could sell this to my families. And I learned real quick, and I turned the program around the way I wanted to be known for. Players bought in, the alums bought in, and the community and the support of Father Judge itself allowed me to be the person that they call JD. My kids, my families, it's all JD. It's not Mr. Dunlop, coach. I'm pretty fortunate to be in that situation.
How long did it take you before you felt like the program was yours? Like, was it a couple seasons before you got things cooking and you got it, you know, where you felt like it was, I don't want to say where you want to be because you're always striving to get better, but like, how long did it take you before you felt like this was your program?
Well, it was basically on a promise to Father Joe. I felt like I'd be a full-time teacher, what I love to do, and to be a soccer coach and still get home at dinner time for my family, which is important to me. I told him, give me 5 years. And he says, you got it. And he had my back. You know, I wasn't a Judge guy at the time. So tradition was to hire a Judge guy. And I had some rocky roads in the beginning. I built some bridges. And I think in time with their trust and winning early on in my career, built those relationships. And I think it's been a win-win for myself, my family, and Father Judge.
When you think over the last 21 or so years as the head coach at Father Judge, what are your favorite memories to this point?
I got to say one is winning the first Catholic League championship in 36 years. That got program moving in the right direction. 2 years later, we win a state championship. First time in the school history. First time in the city of Philadelphia. The relationships I have built the past 22 years. And on top of that, I got to coach my son here for 4 years, who's a senior. So I'm very fortunate to have a lot of memories, but if off the top of my head, I got to say they're the top five.
At this point in your career, how long does it take you to get a really good idea of what your team is capable of? Like, is it something you can come out of like summer camp and feel like, all right, this is what this group's ceiling is. If we work really hard, maybe we can get this. Or, all right, we're going to need some work here. Like, is it something you can tell early on? Do you need like a few games in the season to kind of see how it's coming together? You know, how long does it take you to really, do you think, get a feel for your team?
I mean, we're fortunate to have three teams. And those three teams are divided by talent. And sometimes some kids are not ready. Sometimes there's kids that are better than them in front of them. I think we developed a program that takes competition. When you have numbers, that makes it more difficult. But you can pretty much tell by the body and the language the kids are talking prior to going into training camp. And then you work things out. And you get a really good idea of where your holes are at, what some of the things we think we can take advantage of our opponents. And you try to move and change up things that you need to do to be effective. And I've been pretty fortunate in that way. But it's probably right before training camp. You can feel the vibe by the players, definitely.
Now, you teach business technology. Is that what your focus is from a teaching standpoint?
Yes, I do.
I mean, teacher and coach are in a lot of ways two different sides of the same coin. Do you approach the classroom differently than you do a practice as far as your approach?
No, I still fire. I have that energy. People can hear me down the hallway. You know, that's a great question, because when I started my teaching career at St. Maria Goretti in South Philly, my department chair, Sister Rita Lenahan, said, "You got to tone it down." And I said, I'm a coach / teacher, not teacher / coach. So my enthusiasm and my passion for my kids, I roll with it. And you can hear me. I'm teaching my son, so I'm sure he can hear all three things in the classroom, on the field, and at home. So, but yeah, I bring the energy like I do, like I'm on the field. And I think the kids like it. I don't hear too much from them.
Now, your son's name is Gavin, the one that plays for you?
Yes.
It's obviously been a great experience, but was it difficult at first when coach ends, father begins, or always coach, always father? Is it a difficult road to navigate coaching your own son?
It is. It is. But I got to hand it to my wife. We have two beautiful children, and Madison Grace and Gavin John, and we're a very open family. We discuss a lot of things. I'm with Gavin 24/7. My wife is with Madison 24/7. She went dance drama. Gavin and I went baseball, soccer. So you spend a lot of time on the road, in the hotels, on the field. And so, yeah, it's very difficult to separate that. He maybe called me coach. He maybe called me dad. But it's a challenge.
What's the toughest part of the challenge?
Well, he grew up with Judd Soccer. So he knew my love and passion for the school and the program. So he was educated coming in. His motivation, he wanted to be a part of it and play for his dad. I guess yelling at him, making mistakes. Am I being tougher on him than the other players? But at the end of the day, as he got older, I did less of that in person, and we did it in my truck. Driving to school, going home from practice, and it was just him and I. So there wasn't a lot of people around, and we could have a normal conversation. He could, whether it was emotionally or whether it was educational or just picking my brain. My truck had a lot of good conversations.
How long do you feel like it took for you to find your pace with that? Was the first year kind of a work in progress, and then you feel like you kind of found that space that you're talking about now?
Well, for the first year, he probably slept more than we talked. So as he matured and I understood a little bit more about being dad and coach / teacher, I would say towards the sophomore year in the springtime, as he got his feet wet academically and athletically here at Judge, I think the maturity part of us both connected, but definitely around sophomore year. I mean, so I'm sure he took your dad's the coach, you know, things. But I think he did a great job of handling those things. And it helps when you're a pretty decent soccer player as well.
How much, with what you had to go through injury-wise as a player in college, how much do you feel that's helped you as a coach? Because I would imagine you have an empathy for kids when things don't go their way, be it an injury, be it something else, but something that you really can't control that kind of throws a wrench into your plans. I would imagine you have the ability to say, "Hey, listen, I've been there. We'll work through this together." No?
I agree. I think it helps me tremendously. The psychological part, the honesty, what it's going to take to recover from it, what the rehab is going to be like. My injuries is coming more common than it was in the 80s. But an injury is an injury. You got to rehab it. You got to get healthy to get back on the pitch. And I think it's comfortable for them to, they see me in a different light than being a coach. And, you know, obviously we lean back to, we have trainers that are in our program now that we didn't have growing up. And so there's more to it than they could speak to. and get different aspects of the process. But it's definitely helped me.
Over your coaching career, does what you consider success, has that changed?
It has. I get to see these guys come back. I'm very fortunate. They'll be at games. I'll hear a text, an email. I'll be at a function, invited, and to see these kids that they're doing well. They're getting back involved with the community. They're coaching. They're being successful in their careers, having families. It's a big part of why I do it. And it makes me happy.
Is there a box yet to be checked in your coaching career that you would like to still check before it's all said and done?
I really haven't thought about that. My president, Mr. King, has been in my corner from day one, and he knows my goals. He knows what I want to do with the program, what I want to do with the school. He knows my love. My heart's on my sleeve for Father Judge. So with health, and if he allows me to stay here as long as I can, I want to just continue building the growth of the program, building growth of the school here and the community. I'm very fortunate to be in a position to love two jobs where most people don't like the first job.
John Dunlop, thanks so much for the time. This was great. I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you do for us athletes, coaches, and the community.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Many thanks to John Dunlop, head boys soccer coach at Father Judge High School, for being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.